Hey guys,
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Samantha.
Hide your kids because you're listening to Midwest Made Us Do It, the pod where two best friends chat about whatever tickles our pickle.
So buckle up because we're corn-fed but not inbred.
We got fiber internet, so Matt's really pumped about it. Which just
what
means
that?
It just means it's real fast internet. It means
great.
More than that. So like the download speeds are faster and blah, 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 buffering. I don't know. A lot of boy lingo.
Wow.
Basically, he
sounds
could
thrilling.
Write a video game that would have taken like 8 hours to download. He can download it in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Right. I know. be amazed. All of his friends came in and the first thing they said to me, I was grabbing a Cherry 7-Up out of the mini fridge in the game room, and they go, ooh, how's fiber internet? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I can't tell a difference. And then they were all like, what? This is outrageous. Yeah.
You have offended.
Yeah.
You have offended them with your ignorance about fiber internet.
How are you? That was a question.
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm anxious. It's fine. We're fine. I'm excited to talk about musicals with you, though.
Ooh, me too. Because we like musicals. I come from a musical, I don't want to say a musical background, but I'm very fond of the musical, the theater.
She does like the theater.
I like to sing and dance. I like show tunes.
Have you ever seen anything on like Broadway or whatever?
Yes. Okay, I just want to say just a small PSA that there are going to be noises of trucks coming from the background. Those aren't trucks from the Midwest. Those are Hawaii big giant diesel trucks that are going to be loud, and I don't know why they're there, but they're in Hawaii. They're not in the Midwest. The confusion is going to happen, but I just wanted to clarify that.
People really like trucks here, and they like noisy trucks. So if you hear that, it's the noisy trucks outside my window.
My freshman year of college, I had a roommate, and she lives in Jersey. She lives right outside of New York. So for spring break, I went home with her. My dream has always been to go to New York City, whatever. So we went there. It was amazing. Saw all kinds of stuff. And one of the things that we did was her mom bought us tickets to Broadway to go see Beauty and the Beast.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I have never, of course, it's Broadway's a whole nother level. So it's just amazing. And I've only been in high school musicals and junior high stuff and whatever. The sets are unbelievable. The production is over the top. This, I don't know how they did it, but I literally saw the Beast turn into the prince in front of my eyes. I cannot even explain to you how it, I have no, There was no like secret hidden smoke. There was no trap door. There was no quick costume change. I have no idea. Maybe I was just super distracted by all of everything that was going on. But I swear to you, it's the craziest thing. It was so unbelievable. It was amazing.
We need to Google that after this.
Google how does the Beast turn into the prince?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have to do something, right?
They got to do something.
And Belle is Samantha Knight's favorite Disney princess.
Oh, man. I like sang the entire opening act. I love every second of it. That's the only thing I've seen on Broadway. Actual Broadway. Have you?
I've never seen anything on actual Broadway. My dad's ex-girlfriend took me to see Alvin Ailey perform there. His dance company performed, which is like a huge deal. But I saw Phantom of the Opera when I was really young with my grandparents, took me and Brooke to St. Louis.
Oh, at the Fox. Yeah.
So we saw Phantom of the Opera at the Fox. I was kind of scared. I was not super young, but I think I was in like seventh grade, maybe.
I mean, that's a pretty intense musical to see.
Yeah. I think it was just like the da-na-da-na-da. I was like, what the hell? That I saw that, and then obviously since last week's episode, I traveled to DC to see Mean Girls the musical at the National in And then they went to Broadway, but they got shut down because right. of COVID, which everything is shut down because of COVID right now.
I got to see Wicked at the Fox in St. Louis. And then I also got to see it again in Indianapolis at their theater thing, whatever it's called. I'm sorry, indie people. I can't remember what it's called.
I have a confession. I've never seen Wicked.
Oh my Lanta. You seriously?
I've never seen Wicked. No, so I'm looking forward to you telling me about it. So then maybe I'll want to watch it because I watched West Side Story last night and I was like, oh my God, this is so problematic. So I would love to hear about
Oh my gosh.
So I'm excited to hear about Wicked.
What's your favorite musical is West Side Story?
I even hate admitting it because it is just
It's
like,
okay. It's a classic. I'm surprised that one of your favorites isn't Chicago.
I do love Chicago. I don't. Okay. Here's the truth. I don't really like musicals.
What?
They kind of annoy me because I'm like, what the? I need some dialogue.
It's the singing.
They'll start singing. Yes. And I'm like, what are they talking about?
Oh my gosh. But the musicals, the music makes it so amazing. They're such iconic songs. Like Chicago, the Cell Block Tango, please. He had it coming. He had it coming.
Yeah.
That's epic. And Mary Poppins and Hairspray and Grease and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King, they have such epic music in them. You know,
I do like Mary Poppins.
You know Noah's favorite musical? Very what? Disturbing. Sweeney Todd.
My family really likes that too. I like Sweeney Todd.
It's so disturbing.
I just don't feel passionately about musicals.
Oh my, why did you want to do this topic? I believe it was your choice. I believe this came up out of your mouth.
Because I know that you really like them and we were in a musical together.
We were.
And there are some musicals that I enjoy. I just always feel cringy because it feels like if this were real life and we're just walking around and then all of a sudden I start singing and dancing, like, you know how like TV shows will always do like a musical episode, like, do you remember Buffy the Vampire Slayer? They had this musical episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, those make me feel so embarrassed. Like, I get really cringed out. Yes, like, I'm like, because the people usually can't sing. It's very uncomfortable. I feel awkward. I'm embarrassed for them. I'm like, you're so bad at this. Please stop. I make it all stop.
Did you not like Glee?
I never watched Glee.
Oh, no, my gosh. And I'm assuming then you don't want... I loved Glee. I'm assuming you don't watch Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
No. No idea what that is.
It's wonderful. You should watch it. You would like it. Well, you would like it until they say, nah, you'd
would
like
I?
You would.
I've always been uncomfortable around people who will just bust out in song without any sort of like, I feel like there's a time and a place for song.
Remember?
Like if there's a song on, but if someone's just like, and you're like, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't know why.
Remember, maybe it's the trauma from whenever we were in was it high school or junior high or something? And it was like the talent show and we sang I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus and we went in our PJs holding teddy bears and you were crying. Do you not remember that?
I do not remember this at all.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to dig out the picture and find it. Your
Wait,
face,
what?
We had pigtails in, your face is crazy red because you're sobbing because you had such anxiety and hated it and you didn't want to sing because it was in front of a bunch of people. And I was like, you wanted to do this and you're like, but I don't want to now. I'm like, we're getting ready to go on stage. And I was like, pull it together.
Oh my God. I do. Now that you said that, I do remember that. Who did we sing it with?
It was just you and me. Yes. It was just the two of us.
Oh my God. I do remember that. You were really annoyed with me because I
yes.
was like, I did not want to do it. And can we just talk about the fact that we dressed up in pajamas and then we were talking yeah. about...
I gotta dig out the picture. I know I have it. You don't look great in the picture, but that's because your face is red from sobbing.
I get really red when I get emotional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait to show you that picture.
If I cry, I look horrid.
I'm gonna.
Wow, I forgot about that. Maybe that's it. Maybe I have trauma from that.
Oh,
that's
man.
Hilarious. I totally forgot about that.
Was Grease the only musical you'd ever been in?
Well, so I didn't even want to try out for Grease, but it was like the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And like my sister was like, you should just do it. Just go for it. And I really didn't want to do it. But I thought, who knows what we're going to, because we were juniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, who knows what they're going to have next year.
Ooh, it was Oklahoma. It was bad.
Thank God I did Grease.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And like, I liked the seniors that were going to be doing it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do it with them. And then I got the worst part ever.
You got the best part. You know what the best?
I got the worst part.
I think the best parts are not the big, I mean, of course, if you're like the main lead, whatever, but the quirky little off like side characters are my favorite.
I wanted to be Rizzo because I was Rizzo.
Of course, everyone wants to be Rizzo.
And I wasn't.
Well, I wasn't either. But I was.
Did you try out for Rizzo?
No, I just tried out, but I was pregnant. So I didn't foresee me being Sandra D, you know, 7 or 8 months pregnant.
Oh, I did not want to be Sam. No.
I could have pulled off Rizzo being pregnant, maybe. But, you know, I was, you know, off on the side, in the back, in the crowd. I did have this random angel thing in Beauty School Dropout that our director created just for me to kind of stick it to the man for going to the board about a pregnant girl being in a musical. Ha! That'll teach you. Well, I've had the privilege of being in... Actually, do you remember in eighth grade when we did our Christmas program at Christmas and I was a little angel, like a lead part? I actually dug that picture out and found it. I was in
a flapper.
You were a flapper.
Flapper in our Jesus play.
That's
in
right.
Catholic school. Why were there flappers? I don't know.
It's because I think the angels went back in like the different like eras. I can't even try to put the two together. I got nothing. I've been in Aladdin, Anything Goes, Bye Bye Birdie, Fiddler on the Roof, and Grease.
Wow.
I know. I had so much fun. And then Noah, my son, was in Mary Poppins, Hairspray, and something else that I can't remember. Hold on. I want to tell you some of the most popular musicals. Cheatsheet.com has the top 20 most popular musicals. I'm going to ignore all of them and point out the ones I think are hilarious in the top 10. Because number 10 number 10 is Cats. Just so you know, I've not seen it, but my cousin has seen it. And her husband said the whole time that they just kept looking at each other like, what's going on? What's happening? The total revenue for Cats has been $342 million. Isn't that crazy?
I have no desire to see it.
I have no desire to see Cats at all.
I'm good.
Les Mis is on the list. Beauty and the Beast is number 8. The Book of Mormon is number 7. Chicago comes in at number 5. Mamma Mia is on the list. The top 3 are Phantom of the Opera, which has the total revenue of $1.1 billion. Wicked is number 2. At $1.19 billion, and The Lion King is number 1 at $1.4 billion. Can you imagine a show, the total revenue being $1 billion?
No, but it came to Hawaii. That's how popular Lion King is.
The junior high here did Lion King last year. It was really cute. It's actually really good, and if a full-on big, I can only imagine what Broadway would do with it. Oh my God. Okay, Wicked.
She's very excited.
Okay, so Wicked is a Broadway musical. The music and lyrics are written by Stephen Schwartz, and it's based off of a book called Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. So Gregory Maguire wrote this book. You know how sometimes some people will take the villain and flip it and give you their backstory? That's what Wicked is. So it's the backstory.
I love that.
Yeah, it's the backstory of the Wicked Witch of the West, which is pretty great. It gives her a character. It gives her emotion. It lets you know all about how she became the way that she is. So in October of 2003 is whenever it hit Broadway. Its original stars included Idina Menzel as Elphaba, who was the Wicked Witch. You know,
love her,
the Frozen girl. Kristen Chenoweth.
No, I love her.
You love her too. Oh, I love
both of them.
I love Kristen Chenoweth. She's the cutest little, tiniest, most amazing little thing. She plays Glinda. The original Broadway production won 3 Tony Awards, 7 Drama Desks Awards, and its original cast won a Grammy for the album, for the soundtrack. So I first got involved in it because I came across the book, because I like The Wizard of Oz in general. And then I saw that this was the backstory of the Wicked Witch, so it caught my eye, and I was like, ooh, I want to know about this. Fell in love with the book, found out it was a musical, bought the soundtrack, listened to it obsessively. Then I went to the musical, which was kind of nice because I knew all the music before I went there, which made me really excited to hear it. So Wicked celebrated its 16th anniversary on Broadway in 2019. It surpassed Les Mis to become Broadway's 5th longest running show. And since its debut in 2003, Wicked has broken box office records around the world, currently holding the weekly gross takings records in LA, Chicago, St. Louis, and London.
And can I watch it here?
You cannot. Listen, I'm sorry. You can't watch it right now yet anyway.
They don't have it out on like Amazon or something?
No, it's not. It's not a movie. So you
can't put it into a movie at all?
No, you only can see it live. So you can see bits and pieces of it on YouTube if you want, like, to catch songs of it. They are trying to work on a film. It's a work in progress for sure. Let me tell you what it's about. Okay, I didn't even tell you what it's about. I just gave you the jargon. So it starts off with Elphaba, the Wicked Witch, and Glinda the Good Witch, meeting in college, and they became college roommates. And it's a struggle of power. Of course, there's a crazy love interest stuff that happens. It's Elphaba being this really big, like, social justice kind of activist type of person, and Glinda being the super popular, I just want people to like me kind of person. And the big culmination of the show is whenever they go to meet the wizard. Elphaba thinks that if she just meets the wizard, they're going to do amazing things. They're going to do like all this good. And then she finds out that it's basically a lot of politics, and she's kind of like gets her dreams crushed, and she's like a big screw you. And then she kind of just turns wicked, and she's like, if this is what you want me to be, it's what I'll be. It's really good because then they intertwine Dorothy into it and the Tin Man as a love interest to people and the Scarecrow, and it gets all mixed and weird, and you would really, really like it. The music is amazing. The acting is great. The storyline's wonderful. It is epic. It's one of those things where you go and see it and everyone's dressed up like they're dressed in as much green as they can be, or they're dressed as Glinda, or you know what I mean?
I identify with main character.
I identify with Glinda the Good Witch.
Glinda? Yeah, mm-hmm. I figure.
Yeah, she has she has this big song called Popular, and it's all about being popular.
Oh yeah,
and
I know this song.
Yes. And then they have a song towards the end that it's Because I Knew You. So Because I Knew You, I've Been Changed for Good. It's so sweet. It's so lovely. It's about like this amazing best friend friendship that gets kind of torn apart because one wants to continue an image and the other one wants to fight for injustice, basically. So she's not fitting the mold. So Glinda gets the label of the Good Witch because she's pretty and she's elegant and she's friendly and she's popular and people like her and she's pretty to look at. So it's just easy to make Elphaba be hated because she's green, right?
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's about othering.
Yeah, it is. So they have been trying since 2004 to make this into an actual movie that you can go to the movie theater and see, but it's been put on hold. And then it got put on hold so they could release Cats, the movie, God help us all, which was a complete
flop.
Yes. Taylor Swift was in it. Don't you remember, like,
shut up.
And the girl from the singing competition movie that Anna Kendrick is in, Rebel Wilson.
Oh, Rebel Wilson.
Yes. So that Cats, the movie has Taylor Swift, Jennifer Hudson, James Gordon, Rebel Wilson, Jason Derulo. It has a really good cast. It was a really bad, like, soup. Oh my God. It has 1.5 stars. I'm looking right now. It's bad.
I will not be watching that.
So then they said they were going to release a movie again, but it got pushed back for Sing 2 to come out. A lot of COVID stuff, and they're recasting. So they think, this is the rumors are, that Ariana Grande may play Elphaba. Kristen Chenoweth has said that she would like to see Dove Cameron play Belinda if she got to choose. There's been a ton of people that have been in Wicked that are famous, and it's mentioned all over the place. They had a 15th anniversary tribute called A Very Wicked Halloween, and it was celebrating the 15 years on Broadway. Now, it was hosted by Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. It featured Ariana Grande, Pentatonix, Adam Lambert. Adam Lambert was actually in a production of Wicked. But Wicked's been mentioned on Ugly Betty, Simpsons, South Park, Family Guy, Glee, New Girl, Zombieland, all over the place. It is huge. It's one of the hugest musicals. I cannot believe you've not seen it. This baffles my mind.
I haven't had the opportunity.
I wish you could see. You're never going to be able to see the whole thing until it comes out on a movie. It won't even do it justice to YouTube, like, random stuff about it. Man, the set design is amazing. When I took Noah, he was just totally in awe. He's like, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's definitely my favorite by far. You tell me about West Side Story, because I've only seen it when we were freshmen in high school. They did that as a musical. We weren't even freshmen. I was in junior high.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I have Puerto Ricans effing him. So who played the sharks?
The other white people.
Did they wear brown face?
They did not.
Oh, they didn't?
No, No.
Ow, okay. So they were just...
It was just...
Pretending?
It was just white people fighting white people.
Did they use fake accents? Like, I don't get it. Because the whole point is, like, racism and classism amongst teenagers in blue-collar New York City.
You know, I thought of it more as a, like, Montague Capulet situation.
So, okay, so the story is based off of Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, that makes sense.
And, like you were saying, it came from a book. So the book was written by Arthur Lawrence. And then the music for the musical was written by Leonard Bernstein. And the lyrics were by Stephen... You say Sondheim? Sondheim?
This is your story, man. I don't know.
Well, I don't know musical people. Anyway, Stephen Sondheim, I assume. So the musical came out in 1957, and it was on Broadway for 732 performances, and then they went out on tour. It was nominated for 6 Tony Awards. It was conceived, directed, and choreographed by Jerome Robbins. And the stage show has toured the world and is repeatedly revived. They had a new production that opened in February of 2020, but it got shut down in March. So it was only open for about a month. So they are hoping to go back on Broadway as soon as they are able to. It's very popular. It's still a very popular musical.
It's a classic.
Right. Classic. So the movie came out in 1961, and it's set in the 50s in the Upper West Side of New York. So it's about two teenage street gangs, the Jets, who are white, blue-collar working families, don't have a lot of parental guidance. And then the Sharks, who are mostly played by white people in brown face, but they are supposed to be Puerto Rican. Basically, the only actual predominant, big figure, actor in the movie that is actually Puerto Rican is played by Anita, and Anita is her real, the actor's name is Rita Moreno. So obviously this film gets a lot of bad rap because you have white people not only in full brown face, but the accents aren't, not, what is it? Not unique, but the accents are not,
well, they're not authentic. Yeah.
Yes. The accents are not authentic. And then of course the biggest, Natalie Wood, plays the main, one of the main characters. She plays Maria, and Natalie Wood is Russian.
Oh.
Yes. So in the movie, her, by the way, I needed to talk about her waist is so friggin' tiny in this movie. And I'm like, I know they have her corseted in there, but I Googled her waist size because I was like, her waist is friggin' tiny. Because if your waist looks small on film, that shit, I mean, is tiny. Her
is it smaller than, is it smaller than 24? Because 36, 24, 36 is, Sir Mix-a-Lot says that's right.
It is. It's, she has a 23-inch waist.
Oh my.
Naturally. And then she was corseted in. I want to say she was, I would say, similar to another problematic movie, Scarlett O'Hara, Gone with the Wind size waist in this movie. Like, she's, her waist is tiny in this movie. Something that I did notice was they do put all the sharks in brown face, but they also did it to the white characters, which I was confused about. Like, the guys, like Tony, okay, so Tony and Maria are the two main characters in West Side Story. And Tony's, like, really tan. Like, you can, because now we have, like, 4K, you can see their pores, basically. He's really tan, and he's Polish. They bring it up. They talk about him being Polish a lot in the film. His teeth are really white, because he's so tan, but like the actor who plays Riff, they put bronzer on him too. Like, they just wanted everybody in this film to be real tan. I don't,
maybe they just had a really bad makeup artist.
They had a horrible makeup artist, but I don't know if they thought maybe it won't be as offensive if we also make white characters. I don't know what the thought process was. I don't understand. It was just, all of it was bad. I will say that their hair, everyone's hair in this movie is amazing. Whoever did hair on this set, excellent job. Kudos to you. The costumes, amazing. Love the costumes. I do want to say though that my favorite part about West Side Story is the snapping
when you're,
to show that you're intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it.
Can you imagine just like
just walking down the street and people start snapping at you? And you're like, when you're a jet, you're
don't
a jet.
Be cool, man. Yeah. The snapping is my favorite part because it's so, and the things they say, like the 1950s teenage lingo is so cringy and like like, be cool, guys, just be cool. And then they snap. And I also love, I love dance fighting. When people dance fight, it's one of my favorite things ever.
That's a
like
lot,
if you're
that's
in a fucking pirouette with a knife in your hand, that's a level of commitment that.
That takes a lot of choreography.
So like, it's pretty, the plot is pretty obvious. So Tony and his best friend Riff, they started Jets, which is like the white gang. And Bernardo is the leader of the Sharks, which is the Puerto Rican gang. And they all kind of have turf wars because they all live in the same neighborhood. And there's a lot of, you know, police interference. And it has a lot of themes that I think are still important today, like police, issues with police, racism, classism. It's still very relevant.
Yeah.
Which is why it is very exciting, because they're coming out with a new movie So in 2021, this year, in December, they're going to release the new Steven Spielberg West Side Story. Yes. So I don't know how he got... I read a lot about other musicals and like them trying to change it to make it, because they say a lot of racist stuff in the musical. Like they use a lot of derogatory terms in the musical, and they're kind of handcuffed by copyright laws. Sure. Like if they're going to buy the musical, they have to use the, the lines of the musical. So that's kind of hard, because if you're going to do the story justice and try and be more realistic about the situations, you also don't want to offend people, and you want to be sensitive to people's situations and race. And but anyway, okay, so I just need to make a few like hilarious points about the first movie.
Do you know who's going to be in the cast of the new one?
I do. Okay. I'll tell you about it, but I'm going to tell you about the hilarious shit from the 1961 problematic version first. Okay, so my favorite parts of this movie. It's Romeo and Juliet. You know, they see each other at the movie, at the dance. The whole room slows down. Everybody goes into slow-mo dance mode. Like, they're all in the background going like this.
The listeners can't see you do that, but it was a really slow, imagine a really slow motion.
They're all slow motion dancing in the background, and they see each other. So the basis of the story is Maria is Bernardo's little sister. Mm-hmm. She has just moved to New York from Puerto Rico, and she's supposed to marry Bernardo's best friend, Chino. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want Chino. She's like, not into him. And then she goes to this dance and she meets Tony, and they're like boy-oy-oying like across the room. And so they like slowly walk towards each other, kiss. Bernardo sees this, flips out. He's like, Maria, fucking go home. And so Maria's like, I don't want to, but she does. And then Tony, I'd like to know a timeline of how long he actually was walking in the streets singing about Maria, because he just happens upon her home. They don't explain. Does he know where she lives? Does he just happen to be singing Maria and she just like comes out? Like, what, how did he know? It's New York, like it's big. How do you end up there? How long was he walking?
Listen, you can't think too deep into this, just go with it.
That's what I kept thinking, is how long was he walking? Was he singing the whole time? Were people just like, what's wrong with this kid? Why is he singing? I don't know. But he ends up at her balcony. They have their little like Romeo and Juliet balcony scene. He's like, I'm going to come back, whatever. And they go up on the roof, and Bernardo, and they're all supposed to meet up, the Jets and the Sharks, to figure out, because they're going to have a like all out turf war once and for all. Like, this is going to end it. And Tony's like, I'm going to go and fix this. So he's like, hey guys, like we should have a fair fight. Just like your best man and my best man. Like, and they're like, sweet, let's do it. So they set up the fight, and then he goes and meets up with Maria, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going, 'cause I don't need to go. Like, this dude's going to fight your brother, so like I don't need to go. And Maria's like, no, this is bad for us, because we want to be a couple and we want to be out, and we want your friends to accept us, and we want my friends to accept us, so we need to be the ones to bring everyone together. So you have to go, you have to stop the fight. Okay. And he's like, I mean, okay, like Tony's like, I'll do whatever you want. Like the whole time he's like, I'll do whatever you want. And I'm like, isn't she like 16? Why are you listening to
very Romeo and Juliet?
Yes. And she's, so he goes, Riff ends up knife fighting with Bernardo. And then Riff dies very dramatically. Like he like falls back. Oh. He has a knife in his hand, and he dramatically passes it off to Tony, who just happens to be behind. Mm-hmm. Also, they're like holding Tony back the whole fight. because Tony's trying to break it up. He's like, guys, chill. Like, let's just talk about, let's talk about our feelings. He's like, let's get rid of toxic masculine energy and talk about our feelings. And they're all like, no, we're going to have a knife fight. And so they're holding Tony back the whole fight. And they don't, they're not holding him very strongly. Like, he definitely could have gotten out. And so he ends up behind Riff when Riff dies, and then he's enraged that Riff dies, so he stabs Bernardo and kills Bernardo, and then immediately screams,
oh no,
Maria!
Oh no, is that where Tony it ends?
No. So
oh
then
Lord, okay, all right, hold on to your seats, you guys.
Well, so then he goes and tells Maria, and what, it's a mess. Anyway, Tony ends up getting shot at the end and dies in Maria's arms.
Oh,
and Maria
no.
makes this whole dramatic, she's got a gun.
Oh,
and
no.
And she's like, I could just shoot you all. How many bullets are in here?
Oh,
I
no.
could just shoot you all. But she doesn't. And then the police come. And so, like, everybody's dead. It's fucking sad. It's what it is.
Does Maria die?
Oh, she's just mad.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what happens to Maria. That's a follow-up story I'd like to know.
They need a sequel. Where's Maria?
They need a sequel. Where's Maria now? Anyway, my favorite character in this in West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look up her name because I didn't they never say her name. Her name is Anybody.
Oh.
Or Anybody's.
Oh.
She's the tomboy. Keeps trying to join the Jets.
Oh,
and she just like, she's like, if they give her shit, she'll just pop them.
Mm.
And I was like, I like Anybody's. Anybody's is she's ride or die.
See, it's the side characters that really make it.
Yeah. So her name in the credits is Anybody's / Tomboy. And I was like, she's my favorite character. So the new adaptation, the Steven Spielberg adaptation, it has Ansel, how do you say his name? Ansel Elgort, Igor Elgort?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You know the guy that was in, my God, that movie Azzy made me watch that I cried the whole time. The one where they have cancer and their kids and they go to Amsterdam. Oh my God.
Yes,
The Fault in Our Stars.
Okay.
Ansel Elgort. I don't know how to say his last name. Ansel Elgort.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know how to say his name.
Okay, so he plays Tony, and then Rachel Zegler plays Maria, and she is new to acting. At the time this article was written, she was new to acting. I don't know if she's done stuff since then because they made this like 2 years ago. But Steven Spielberg basically said he wanted to tell the Puerto Rican experience of the migration to the country and the struggle to make a living, to have children, and battle against the obstacles of xenophobia and racial prejudice. And he brought on Justin Peck, who's the choreographer for the New York City Ballet.
Oh,
so you
nice.
Know the dancing's going to be
mm-hmm.
amazing. And then they wrote a new script. You got to have Steven Spielberg money to change the script, man.
No kidding.
So he brought on playwright Tony Kushner for the new script. And he wanted only performers with Hispanic backgrounds playing Hispanic characters. So he said 20 of the 33 Puerto Rican characters are specifically Puerto Rican or of Puerto Rican descent. And then he brought back Rita Moreno, who played Anita.
Oh, wow.
So she won Best Supporting Actress for playing Anita in the original film. And so she returns in the new film to play Valentina, who's supposed to be Doc's widow. Doc is the meeting shop, the pharmacy, candy shop, whatever that Tony works at. So she plays kind of the Doc character, except she's more of like a tougher peacemaker kind of thing. They also asked her, Oh, and he made her an executive producer on the film because he wanted her to share her perspectives on that time and place with the younger actors. And she said Spielberg and Kushner, quote, really wanted to right some, should I say, wrongs? I don't know if that's, yes, that's fair, because the film had a lot of things that were wrong with it, aside from the fact that it had a lot of things that were very right. One of the wrong things, she says, was that she was one of the few Puerto Ricans in the cast. That's what we were trying to fix. And I think they've done an incredible job. So she has helped with this. So that's amazing. Good. The girl who plays Anita in this movie is Ariana DeBose. So she grew up watching this film and was in love with this musical and with Anita's character, like, since a little girl. And she said she, like, dreamed about the purple dress and wearing the purple dress doing the dance on the rooftop. And so she was really nervous about taking this role because it means so much to her. She loved what Anita was doing. And after she grew up, she discovered who Rita Moreno was and that she looked like her. And she was one of the first women on screen that actually had skin color that was close to hers, especially in a film made at that time where there weren't many women of color on the screen. And it was very influential during her childhood. She said she believes in the American, about Anita, her character. She believes in the American dream and she believes in her right as a woman to pursue it. There's something really amazing about not only Anita, but women in general who constantly find a way to see the world, not with rose-colored glasses, but with hope.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to seeing the new version.
I need to watch.
If they don't snap, I'm going to be very upset, though.
Oh, they're totally going to snap.
I have some history about Greece.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't write it out. It's just brief.
Greece is pretty straightforward. I mean, who didn't love Greece as a kid? John Travolta, some really great music, a storyline that I did not understand as a kid until I was getting older, and I was like, oh, this is a little risque. Olivia Newton-John,
well, they just
come
celebrated
on.
49 years.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. On Broadway. So it opened in 1972. This was February 14th, so the anniversary just happened. It opened on Valentine's Day in 1972. That's so cute. It returned to Broadway in a 1994 revival, and again in 2007 with a new revival. And then in 2016, there was a broadcast live musical on Fox as Grease Live. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch that because I don't want that.
I didn't watch the Grease one, but I watched Hairspray. I watched The Sound of Music. I don't remember there being a Grease one. Who was in that?
So let's see.
Like big celebrities. What were the main?
Julianne Hough was Sandy.
She was? Oh, wait, maybe I did see it. No, I don't think I saw. Oh, no, I did. I did see it. I did watch it. It was good.
And then,
you know what was not good?
I have some.
What was not good was The Sound of Music Live. Carrie Underwood played.
I didn't want
the not that it wasn't. I think I just don't like The Sound of Music. Oh, listen, I'm going to get some slack for that.
Like, I've never watched it.
Don't watch it. Just like, who really, really deep down, if you really deep down ask yourself, did you really like Hamilton? Honestly.
Oh, I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that. Oh, these are like fun facts that we didn't know about. Things we knew, but we didn't really know. So they're supposed to be in high school, right?
Yeah.
So Stockard Channing, who played Rizzo, she was 33 when they filmed.
Wow.
John Travolta was 23. Jeff Conway played Kanicki, was 26. And Olivia Newton-John, who was Sandy, turned 29 during filming.
Wow. Well,
these people are not close to high school aged.
No, not at all. They looked good, though.
You know, remember where Rizzo has hickeys on her neck? The hickeys from Kanicki that you said?
Yeah, hickeys from Kanicki.
So those were real.
From Kanicki?
Yeah, so... She said, the actress, Stockard Channing, she said that he gave her hickeys like offset. I don't know if they were making out or if
nice.
He just did it for realism or this cast is super cursed.
No,
love a movie curse.
Right.
So the Jeff Conaway, he played Kanicki, and I don't know if you remember him on any of the, he was in quite a few like VH1 addiction shows.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Celebrity Rehab or whatever, which he was injured on the set of Grease and hurt his back and had like lifelong addiction to pain pills and had mental health problems. And so he had addiction to cocaine, alcohol, painkillers, and he died in 2011. He was only 60. Olivia Newton-John, she has had a whole lot of, so 2005, her partner mysteriously vanished on an overnight fishing trip out of California. And she was, had no idea where he was. And in 2009, they reported that he was alive and well and living in Mexico.
What?
He had fled. Yes. He fled to avoid debts, including $8,000 in child support.
What?
Can you imagine? You're like, oh my God, my boyfriend died at sea. I'll never have closure. And the asshole's in Mexico just chilling because he doesn't want to pay $8,000 in child support.
What
a friggin' turd. I'm telling you about the curse, okay? Because even the people in the musicals say it's cursed because they've had issues. They said one of the musicals, they were in the car and it flew off the stage into the orchestra, okay? The friggin', it's cursed. So that's a wrap on today's music.
Sweet Lord, God help us.
All right, well, we will see you next week where we will be back with an episode about...
Drinking. Drinking in the Midwest, sobriety, all of the wonderful things that come along with it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I will close this out with a quote from Billy Flynn in the musical Chicago. He actually says this, "Good night and God save Illinois."
It's amazing.
It's the truth. He speaks the truth.
Okay, let's do
it. I love you.
I love you back. Bye.